You are Locked On Mets, your daily New York Mets podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello to all you amazing Mets fans. You're listening to Locked On Mets, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. To get this show every day, subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. You can also tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Mets. On today's show, I'm going to play the remainder of my conversation with fellow Mets Merized writer Jordan Grossman. We talk about JT Realmuto and James McCann, which catcher should the Mets be trying to sign this offseason. We talk a little bit about Jackie Bradley Jr. and what he could do for the Mets in center field. And then we go through the debate of whether you want Trevor Bauer or Marcus Stroman. So a lot of good stuff in this conversation. Before we get to any of that, I'm your host, Ryan Finkelstein. If you want to find any of my work, follow me on Twitter at FinkelsteinRyan. You can also find some of my writing about the Mets at MetsMerizeOnline.com. Now, quick notes on the news before I play our conversation. There is all these reports about Mary de Blasio. Will he step in and halt the sale of the Mets? You can read the story in the New York Post talking about how he's trying to kill the sale. Overall, the wide majority of reporters are still saying not to fret. It's going to be Steve Cohen, so I'm not going to talk about that today. We might talk about that tomorrow as this story still develops. On Friday, the owners are supposed to vote. Everything has indicated that Cohen has the votes from the MLB owners. So hopefully by the end of this week, we're doing some podcasts talking about Steve Cohen officially being the Mets owner. Also, roster talk here. No surprises, but Wilson Ramos, Robinson Chirino, and Todd Frazier all had team options. The Mets have declined all of those options, which we knew was going to happen. So Steve Cohen will have to spend $4 million in buyouts. But overall, again, no surprises there. Anyway, here is my conversation again with Jordan Grossman, fellow writer for Mets Merize and host of the We Are Mets Believers podcast. But you mentioned the Phillies, and so I want to transition over to the JT Realmuto talk. Obviously, it does not seem like the Phillies have the money right now to lock him up. What are your opinions on Realmuto or another catcher they can get in free agency?
So coming into the offseason, I was pretty high on Realmuto. He was right at the top of my wish list. But the thing that threw me off a little bit was when he started demanding a $200 million contract and trying to break Joe Mauer's AAV of $23 million a year and the 8-year deal. Because that for me is just, it's way too much for a catcher, especially a 30-year-old catcher who's coming off back-to-back seasons of knee surgery and now he's got a lingering hip issue. So I don't love giving him a ton of money. I think the farthest I would go is probably 5 years, maybe $120 million. But it seems like he's going to get more than that, depending on, like I said, with the pandemic. And I don't know how much money teams are going to be throwing around this offseason. But I still think a catcher who we know there's not a lot of premier two-way guys at that position. So it's tough to find. When a guy like Realmuto hits the open market, it's pretty tough to pass on. But if I were the Mets, I think I'd go in the direction of someone like a James McCann and really try to shore up the pitching.
Yeah, I think that makes sense. I mean, I was always like you, just the idea of getting a five-tool player at catcher. It's so rare that Realmuto is really exciting. I think it does depend on the structure because, as we talked about Alvarez, you have someone that in 3 years might be the answer. So if the money is so dry in free agency and you can somehow structure a contract where it's Realmuto maybe on a 5-year deal with an opt-out after the third year and kind of front-loaded, so if he picks it up, those last 2 years aren't that, you know, constraining for you. I think that's something that's interesting. But if he is going to find that contract somewhere, I don't know where he does. I do see McCann as a potential option that can bridge the gap to Alvarez and be a good fit and probably would come over on that shorter contract. So I think that makes sense.
Yeah, I mean, McCann has been very underrated the past couple of years. He has an 808 OPS, which I think is third behind Grandal and Realmuto for all of qualified catchers in baseball. And this year, he was in the 92nd percentile in terms of framing, according to Baseball Savant. So he's improved his defense a lot back from his Detroit days. So I think he's a guy you can probably get on something like a 3-year, $50 million deal. And like you said, that bridge to Alvarez, we don't know what kind of prospect he can be, but the reports from the alternate site in Brooklyn and the instructional camps in Port St. Lucie have been really, really positive. So there's hope that he can really be that franchise catcher for the Mets, maybe their best offensive catcher since Mike Piazza, hopefully.
Yeah, it'd be nice. I mean, Wilson Ramos had a good first year, but it was a disaster, and a good first year offensively, I should say, but it was a disaster in 2020. Now, you wrote a free agent profile on Jackie Bradley Jr., and I do wonder if you're planning out the Mets' money this offseason, would you rather spend all that money on Realmuto or combine the two and get McCann and Jackie Bradley?
I think I would go for the latter. I understand the catcher is a big need for this team. Like you said, Ramos really struggled in his second year here, especially defensively and just completely missing tags constantly. I mean, I still get frustrated thinking about that throw Conforto made from right field again, the Phillies game, and just Ramos completely missing the tag. Most catchers are able to make that play, but Jackie Bradley is someone who I think could really shore up this team defensively. We know how many issues the Mets have had in that area. I think they rank in the bottom in terms of team DRS, defensive run save, the last 3 or 4 years. They're right at the bottom with rebuilding teams like the Tigers and the Orioles. So it's really not pretty in that area. Jackie Bradley Jr. is someone who I think you can get. Boston's not going to give him a qualifying offer. It's going to be 1 year, $19 million this year. I can't see them giving that to him, especially when they shopped him all of last offseason and even leading up to the trade deadline. But he's a top three defensive center fielder in the game, even at 30 years old. I believe he's right up there with Buxton and Hamilton and those kind of guys. So I think combining McCann, Bradley Jr., and then adding a couple of pitchers would really help this team instead of just giving all that money towards one player in Realmuto.
And I want to talk about the pitching, but something did just come across my mind here. Something I've been thinking about. If Brandon Nimmo has to be your center fielder again next year, and whether it's Bradley prices out, Springer prices out, you just decide not to address it through free agency. Is Jake Marisnyk a player you'd want to see back? And my case for it would be, I don't think he's going to get much of anything in free agency this year. I think if you gave him a guaranteed major league contract, he would take it. So is that something that interests you to see if you can get another year out of him?
I mean, he's probably like a plan C, just like a really big fallback if you can't land the George Springer or Jackie Bradley Jr. or trade for someone like, I don't know, Byron Buxton, if he's available from Minnesota, who I've always been a huge fan of. But yeah, like you said, he's probably not going to get many major league offers this offseason, if any. You can probably get him on a veteran minimum deal. So if worst comes to worst, that's your last option, I think I'm okay with it. But outside of that, I'm really pushing for someone like a Jackie Bradley.
Yeah, I think it would help a lot. The problem is simply that there's just not many guys out there. If you don't get Bradley, if you don't want to give Springer the big money, he might get a huge contract. It's just so hard to find center fielders now. I've been going through them, and there's just not a lot of great options.
Yeah, it just makes me think back to Jared Kelnick and how much Brody Van Wagenen screwed up that deal. I'm not going to get too much into it just because it frustrates me every time I think about it. But just you, most teams who have that blue chip prospect in center field would never let go of him, and because or the, and they would lock him up to a long term deal as soon as he's in the majors. So they don't let those guys leave. So it's really hard to find them on the open market.
Yeah, that was a big mistake when you look at it, especially because he probably figured midway next year could make a team. I mean, who knows? Even out of spring training in Seattle, he might be one of those Chris Bryant guys that gets the extra year control, but 2 weeks into the season we see him. So yeah, that one hurts. You never know when your car could suddenly stop working, and I interrupt this podcast to tell you about the place you should go to repair and maintain your cars, because they will help you save money that you could use for other important things like your mortgage or food. So why would you choose to spend 30%, 50%, maybe even 100% more for the exact same auto parts at a chain store or a new car dealership? RockAuto.com is a family business serving auto parts to customers online for 20 years. They have everything you could want, from engine control modules to brake parts, tail lamps, motor oil, even new carpet. The RockAuto.com catalog is unique and remarkably easy to navigate. Quickly see all the parts available for your vehicle and then choose the brands, specifications, and prices you prefer. Go to RockAuto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Write "Locked On" in there, "How did you hear about us" box, so they know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. RockAuto.com. Another trade that was made was the Stroman deal. What do you think about giving him the qualifying offer first?
I think that's a no-brainer. I see a lot of fans getting into heavy debates about it on social media, and I really don't understand why they wouldn't go for it. I don't think Stroman's going to take it. He seems like he's really high on himself and wanting to get that long-term deal. So I doubt he takes a $19 million offer. He's probably going to get – it's really tough, his situation – because he obviously didn't play this year due to COVID and the calf strain, and he only made 11 starts as a Met. So people don't really know a ton about him in New York, and I still want to see more. He has a career 3.76 ERA, and he can get the ball on the ground a lot. And I think just giving him that qualifying offer, even if he doesn't take it, you still get that draft pick, which can be really valuable.
I think so too. And I think the question I have right now is, is Marcus Stroman going to get like Wheeler money? Is he going to get, what was it, 22 for five, I think? So is he going to get that much in free agency? That's the thing I'm not sure about. But what I will say is, if the qualifying offer is attached, you automatically give yourself some leverage when it comes time to free agency, because you're the one team that won't lose anything to sign him. And I think if you're looking at the market right now, the two big names are obviously Stroman or Bauer. So the question is, do you want to re-sign Stroman and not have to give up anything, or give up draft assets and however much Bauer is going to get? What do you think about Trevor Bauer?
I like Trevor Bauer on a one-year deal. It seems like he's been open to that for a while. He's talked about it on social media and in interviews with Sports Illustrated about how he's only going to take one-year offers. But his agent recently tweeted out that they're going to look at all different kinds of offers and not just one-year deals. So I saw a report from SNY come out the other day that an MLB executive thinks he's going to land a deal similar to Steven Strasburg, which was 7 years, $245 million. And at that money, I think I'm out, because Bauer, while he had an awesome year and he's probably going to win the Cy Young, before this season, he had a 4.04 ERA. And in 2020, he only made 11 starts against six different teams in a really weak offensive central division. Because when you look at the six teams that he faced, the only team that had a weighted runs created plus that wasn't in the bottom 10 of the league were the White Sox. They were six, and they were a pretty good offense. But outside of that, he faced really poor teams. So I don't think you can take his numbers at face value this year. I would love him on like a one-year, $25 million deal. I'm all for it. Just shoring up that pitching, especially when you don't know when Noah Syndergaard is going to be back next year, and just having a reliable number two starter. But if it gets to like a five-year deal and he's asking for $30, $35 million a year, I think I'm out.
Yeah, I think I'm on the same page with that. I liked the idea of a one-year deal. And also, I do wonder how serious he is about that pitching on 3 days rest thing, because it seems like that's going to be his number one ask in free agency, that, you know, he wants to pitch on 3 days rest for whoever signs him. That is intriguing, but it's also scary. Like, how do you form a rotation around that? You know? So I don't know. To me, it seems like a guy that is really polarizing. We know that, but he can either be a spark plug or he could be a detriment. I don't really know. And again, if it's 5 years, like you said, I don't think you can count him being consistent for five seasons. I don't know.
Yeah, and like you mentioned, he can be, not even looking at the pitching aspect of it, just having a personality like him. We know how active he likes to be on social media and just getting into it with fans and the media. I don't know how his personality would fit in New York. I know the one thing I love about this Mets team is their clubhouse. They have such a great group of guys, even if they haven't really competed for a playoff spot the last couple of years. The team itself has a really nice core with guys who seem like they really like each other. And I think Bauer would really shake up that dynamic just because of how challenging of a person he can be. So I don't know how he would blend in New York.
It could work, it could blow up. So we'll see what happens. Overall, before I let you go here, just rank them. What's your top three priorities if you're Sandy Alderson, the new front office? What are the first three things you want to do?
So the first thing I definitely want to do is shore up the pitching because, like we saw, the outside of Jacob deGrom and maybe David Peterson, who had a nice rookie year, but had a couple of bad starts also. There's really nothing you could rely on. Porcello and Waka were a dumpster fire. And the number five spot was just a rotation of Lugo, Gesellman, Lockett. It wasn't great. So I think pitching is number one. Number two for me is Francisco Lindor. I think a lot of people say you want center field, you want catcher. Yeah, that's great. But you can also upgrade at a position where it's he's a premier guy. He's a two-way superstar at a premium position, and he's 26 years old. You can trade for him, have him locked up. And I think getting him in here would really be such a big boost, and it would be a stamp on Steve Cohen's ownership just to show that I'm here. I'm not Jeff Wilpon. I'm not Fred Wilpon. I'm going to win in New York, and we're going to win for a lot of years. And then third, I think, is center field because, like we talked about, Nimmo isn't really cut out for center. His defensive issues really were on display this year. He couldn't really track down balls. He didn't have the speed out there. So I think getting someone like a Jackie Bradley would be really great. And so, yeah, it would be pitching, Lindor, and then center field.
I think if the Mets do that, they'll be in great shape. Thanks again for coming on, man. I really appreciate it. Check out the We Are Mets Believers podcast. You can find that anywhere.
Yeah, you can find us on Apple, you can find us on Spotify, and you can find us on Podbean as well.
Awesome. Thanks again, man.
Thanks, man. I appreciate it.
That'll be all for today's edition of Locked On Mets. As always, thank you for listening. Make sure you continue to stay locked on this feed, as I will be giving you updates throughout the process as the Mets sale should be finalized any day now. So make sure you tune in every day. Make sure you subscribe, rate, and review so you don't miss anything. Also, you can always tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Mets.